sit back and get ready to take off with Dynamic Golf. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Dynamic Golf Podcast. I am your co-host, Tim McElvanna, and with us, as always, my partner, Sean Klotz. Hey, Sean, how are things going for you, big guy?
Hey, T-Mac. Hello, Dynamic Golf listeners. Looking forward to talking to you guys. We've been out for a couple weeks, and we need to kind of get back into it. And it's like our spring training up here for golf, and this is like getting back into the regular league, regular season for our podcast, too. So we got so many cool events. The golf season's really starting to kind of kick in. Obviously, we got Augusta in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And, they've already played the Players Championship. We can even talk about that performance there. So there's just a lot of good things happening in the world of golf right now.
Yeah. Getting to a little bit about Augusta, just kind of start off with, you can definitely see a lot of good players in the stable rounding out into good form, getting ready. The Scottie Schefflers, Rory McIlroy, Min Woo now, a lot of good players rounding into form. So I think it's going to be a really exciting Augusta, especially with not having the big cat around anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's, everything has to come to an end, you and I have both kind of grown up with Tiger being, whatever, the best player in the world, the best championship, the best putter, the best up and down game, the best grinder. He brought so many people to the game. Yeah. I mean, he just transformed the game of golf.
Yeah.
In many, many ways, with the amount of people he brought to the game, honestly, the economic diversity of who he brought to the game. Mm-hmm. So it's poised, it's ready. I mean, golf is so volatile right now with LIV and yeah, kind of that whole, we could do hours on that. Let's just kind of keep it basic for today. But seeing Rory win it at the Players Championship, he arguably, in my little head, it's always easier to make the comment from the couch on Sunday than playing, but he probably should have won on Sunday. He really kind of had a chance at a couple of birdies there on 15 and 16, but he made it through and he won the playoff on Monday. Do you happen to watch some of that, most of that?
Yeah, I watched the playoff. I'd be honest, and I think most people would be honest when they saw J.J. Spahn stick the first one on 17 into the water.
Yeah.
To be honest, we kind of knew he was under the – when I saw that first tee shot on 16 and he kind of flailed it out to the right. I mean, I think we all know that feeling, being so nervous on the tee, and he just flailed it out to the right. And you could tell right then and there he was nervous. Rory had him on the back heel to begin with. But, yeah, I watched all the playoff. But once J.J. Spahn put that first ball in the water, I knew it was over, especially when I watched Rory just stick it hole high. And I was like, wow, this guy is on fire right now.
It's funny, T-Mac. Like, I think we're going to do most of our podcast today on kind of part of the mental game of the golf. We do a lot of mental stuff on this podcast, but I don't think that we can ever do too much in the game of golf on the mental side of it. But, it's, again, that shot, like I've had an opportunity to play up there at Sawgrass TPC. Have you played it?
No, I've never played it. So I always enjoy hearing stories about people when they come to 17 and what it looks like, the clubs that they use, the wind that they had to deal with. So please tell us, what was it like? Please tell us that experience.
Yeah, it's such an exciting, it's such a great golf course to play, obviously, because anytime you play a place where you've seen tour players play, you get a little more inspired. There's actually two 18s out there. There's a place called the Valley, and then there's the Stadium course, and the Valley is on the property of TPC as well. And so we played a pro-am back probably about 10 years ago when I was up at Green Valley Country Club. Mm-hmm. Two-day pro-am, brought three of my members from Green Valley, and it was just a really cool event to play the both places. I did shoot 93 at the Valley course. Okay. And I am a PGA professional. I'm okay with all that.
Yes.
And that's the harder one to me, because the Stadium course, I shot 78 and back-to-back days, it's just funny. You get a little more inspired. Maybe that sometimes it's kind of those courses for horses type of thing. Mm-hmm. The Valley course didn't set up to me, the eye lines of it, the sight lines of it. And again, you're just inspired. I was definitely more excited to play Stadium course, and some of the, memories of some of these guys hitting shots at the places. So bottom line is there's so many good holes, and you know a golf course is good, T-Mac, and you've had this too. When you can still remember it, when you've only played it once and you still remember the holes, right? I mean,
I've got those memories of Bay Hill. Like when I watched the tournament at Bay Hill, like I can remember those shots and see those shots, because I've got to play Bay Hill. But you're absolutely right. I'm sure that when you're watching, the Players Championship, you know what the shot is on three or four or any of those things, and you've got such a different perspective, which is always amazing when we go back and watch tournaments. I always find, even like the Valspar, I wasn't very interested in the Valspar, but since I've played the Copperhead, I will watch the whole tournament now just to kind of say, oh, I've been there. I know what that looks like. That's a terrible place to be. That's a great place to be. So you get those great memories like you're talking about, that mental side.
It's so the things that have changed now, again, 53 years old playing. When I go to a golf course, for 30 years, I never looked at tee boxes. We just kind of always went to the back of the tee and pegged it up, and you went.
To the back
But
tee, pro. That's
now,
what they tell us.
now it's like, I want to play 65 or 66, or a little bit of who you play with. Oh, somebody wants to play 63, you'll play there. And but the days of 7,000 are pretty much gone for me. I don't mind saying that out loud. But you see these tour players, they're playing tee boxes because they're, the couple at TPC, couple at Innisbrook, Copperhead, like you said, that you just didn't even know were back there. 235 yard par threes, normal.
It's amazing when you watch tournaments. Like when I was watching the Valspar, I remember sitting on when they were teeing off on number one, and I'm thinking, God, where are they teeing off from? And I'm thinking that was probably 70 yards back from where we played at. And I'm thinking, I didn't even know there was a tee box back there. And I mean, it's just they're getting to the point now they're playing 74, 75, 7,600 yards, which is, I mean, just wow.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, that tee box on number one at Copperhead's by the starter shack, T-Mac. Like, that thing's back there, right?
I
That
mean, you're
thing is
talking to
way
the
back there
gallery
'cause,
back there. I mean.
yeah, absolutely. No, it's so true. It is so true. So it's but yes, I mean, 16, 17, 18 at TPC are just an amazing three amazing holes. Obviously encourage anybody in Florida. I know it's expensive now. That's the other thing. It's changed. It's such an expensive golf course. It's so hard to get on. We did go up there with some members actually from Silverado, probably, 6 or 7 years ago. It was still, 250, but now I think it's pretty exorbitant. So anyways,
500,
just
550, I believe now.
yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. So it's such a good track, 16, 17, 18. The good thing, and you're going to see this at Augusta coming up here in 2 weeks, when you have to make decisions on what club to hit off of a tee box, versus, and also what club you're going to hit either to lay up for the normal people in the world, or are you going to go for things for the other people in the world? That's to me where they become more exciting, these golf courses, because we're there's just such a limited population that can just bomb it and hit the wedges in, and so to play that kind of target precision, sort of think about it, which is kind of the way it's supposed to be anyways. That's what golf was sort of supposed to
Correct.
be. We've kind of turned it into this sort of circus of hitting at 350 and then hitting a wedge on and two putting and going on. But yeah, that you're supposed to be able to hit shots and shape shots too, and that's the other thing I would say. Back nine, even front nine at TPC, you definitely had to be on the correct side of the fairway. You couldn't just, kind of hit the fairway.
A lot of blocked out shots if you're on the wrong side of the fairway. Am I right on that?
And then that always kind of leads into into the green complexes. And okay, are you gonna short side yourself? And as we get into our topic here, of our conversation today, like one of the differences between a sub 80 round, somebody shooting in the 70s and somebody shooting 80 or higher, is you will see that person that's a 0 to 5 handicap, they won't short side themselves. They just won't. They won't take the risk of going at a flag And we all call it, what's the flag that the superintendent puts in a bad spot? Right?
The
Sucker.
tricky, yeah, sucker pin placement.
Yeah. Sucker pin placements. We actually have a name for it, and yet we still do it, right?
Oh
We
yeah,
still get
fall
sucked
for it
in.
every time.
Yeah. Oh, I can hit that shot with clearance on the left side of the green and bunker. I got to cover a bunker. Yeah, I can hit that shot when you haven't practiced for 3 months or whatever, right? It
Correct.
just, yeah. So to be able to hit to the different green complexes, we'll probably talk more about that maybe next week when we start really getting into Augusta. But you got to be on the correct side of the hole and the correct quadrant, the correct, level of the hole type of thing.
You also have to have the correct angle, right? I think a lot of people, as far as short sighting themselves, they always believe that if I get closer to the hole, I'm better.
Ah, that's a good one.
But if I can, get myself to a point where I get a good angle and maybe I'm not as close to the pin, it gives my wedge a chance to release and run and get a judge for it. But if I've short sighted myself, then I've got to play something very, very tricky, very finesse. And I better have a lot of touch and a lot of practice. And I guarantee you 95% of us are not doing that.
No, or to your point too, T-Mac, about hitting a full shot into a green as opposed to trying to hit this
Right.
half lob wedge, half sand wedge, 3/4, 80%. Again, if you have the opportunity to practice 80%, 56-degree wedge shots, great, good for you. But a lot of us are just kind of making this up as we go while we're playing, and
Yes.
so they're not. Those guys on TV are not. Those guys are, they've practiced that 70%, 56-degree wedge shot with low ball spin coming off of it, wanting it to stop within 7 feet of where the ball lands. Like they have that dialed in. The
Correct.
majority of our listeners don't. And that's not a negative to our listeners. It's just play to your strengths, play to what you can hit.
Play to your strengths, but the other thing is play to what you practice, though, too. I mean, if you're a person that's out there driving the ball and hitting irons and all that stuff, then play your full shot. If you're not a guy that's out there working on your wedges and practicing it, then why would you lay up to a yardage that you don't practice to? If you're practicing 100-yard shots, then feel comfortable with it. Don't get lost in the mental trap that my buddy just put it, 60 yards ahead of me and I got to get close to him. Get to what's comfortable to you. Have a mental, you got to be mentally strong on that. And I think we're going to get to that a little later on in today's subject, but you've got to have the mental fortitude to say, "Listen, I want to go to the 100-yard mark and I want to put it there and I don't care what my playing partners say or whoever's out there." Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, 100%, 100%. Yeah. So it's funny. I don't even know if you remember this, T-Mac, but you and I played in a pro event back at TPC Tampa. Probably, within it was probably 10 years ago, but it
Yes.
was somewhere between 8 or 10 years ago.
Yes.
And and this is a positive story. It's going to start off sounding like I'm knocking you, and I'm not. But at that particular moment, at that particular time in the world, like I did hit it further than you, probably 15, maybe 20 yards further with driver.
I would agree.
But there was a par four, doggy left par four. I think it's number 15 out there. And I remember watching you play the hole, and I never told you this story, which is kind of funny. I watched you play the hole, and all you did was hit your drive straight, which is like your drive like 97% of the time. Hit your drive straight over just over the right hand side of this water. There's a water feature that kind of comes in the left side of the hole, and I hit driver into the right rough, and you got about maybe 207 to the flag. It's a long hole. It's probably the number one hardest handicap hole on the course. And you hit your hybrid up on the green, and you two putted, and you made four, and I was over there making six, and I'm like, I probably should have done what T-Mac did,
I remember looking at you after I got done with the drive. I looked up at you and I said, "Is this a par five?" And you looked at me and, "Nope, this is a par four,
No,
T."
sir, partner. No, we still got it. Yeah, that's correct. That's
So
correct.
yeah, I remember looking at that going, "Wow, this is a par four, boy. I welcome to the big
Yeah.
leagues."
Yeah. So, I mean, it's such a good, point of the thing of like, just play to what you can do what you can do. You can't overdo stuff. You can't make up shots that you haven't practiced. If you hit a draw, hit a draw. If you hit it 225, hit it 225. But play a lot of golf courses playing between 225 and, I mean, again, now I sound like, you know, me and you, but like you hit a lot of golf, you play a lot of golf courses from 225 to 250. If you select the right tee box to play, you can enjoy the game quite a bit.
Absolutely.
You know, but playing from the fairway is typically the way to start the scoring process. Let's go with that.
Yeah, I mean, if you set yourself up in rough to begin with or behind a tree, then you're behind the eight ball to begin with, right? And that you're always trying to scramble to get that shot back. So, but if you can just, as I said, if you can just hit, I look at some of my students and they'll hit it 200 or 225 down the middle, and they'll look at me and go, well, I need to hit it 250, 260. And I'm thinking, well, who needs 260 into the woods? You know, it's 225 down the middle. Grab a longer iron. You're still straight. You know, play to your strengths. But I think, you got to play to your mental strengths, as we've talked about. So.
Well, again, if they're picking the right tee boxes to play, we'll start there. It really does start from that. You really, and don't have the ego on the first tee. Who cares? You paid your money. You want to play with your buddies. You're out there to have a good time. You just gotta, hey, you know what, guys? I'm good from 6,200. I don't feel comfortable from 65, because throughout the round, you will get, it'll start wearing on you, as you do have to hit more hybrids and kind of like 5 irons into greens versus 7 irons and, you know, 6 irons and even par threes. I see par threes come into play a lot, where that's a 190 par three instead of a 165, and that really does change the scoring part of that.
I would like for them to change the name of the tees. That's the problem, is that, the red tees is called the ladies tees, and there ain't no man that's going to go up to the ladies tees. Even when they're seniors, they're like, I won't go up to the
Seniors.
ladies tees. We just need to uniform the names and just get rid of the stigma that sticks with these colors, and just be like, hey, there's a forward tee, there's a middle tee, and a back tee, and these are the yardages. Which one would you like to play today, sir? There's no, label or anything like that. But I guarantee you, if somebody says, hey, the red tees is the ladies' tee, I guarantee a 80-year-old man's gonna be like, I'm gonna play the whites. You know, it's just that
Well,
stigma.
they've kind of started to do that, but I mean, they call them purple or silver or something, right? They've kind of started putting some different colors to them, but you're still right. It's still, and then, you know, as we're changing the game of golf, we might as well change the that number that says par on the scorecard too. We know we've had this conversation before, but I want the bogey number. I want there to be a 90 line on that scorecard instead of the 72 line. And almost as you pick your tee boxes, let's pick your par as well. Which par are you which par are you shooting for?
Absolutely. And that should be the there should be a 72 on the card, obviously, but there should be a number. If you're a 0 to 10 handicap, this is the number that we're looking for, right? A 90 or an 85. You know, put that number on the card. Let people see that and let them know that it's acceptable. You know, people, if they don't see that number on there and they just keep seeing the 72, they have this self-worth that they're not performing very well.
Every hole.
Yeah,
Every
every
hole, because
hole.
they walk off with a five on a par four. And again, I won't get into all my little theory there, but you know, they should make the five on that hole. So they think they've made a bogey, and really it's their par.
Correct.
It's really their par. So let's go with a 72, an 80, and a 90 on a scorecard. And then if you're, you know, pretty blatantly, if you're not good enough to get to the 90, keep practicing. You'll get there. But let's make the whole thing way more achievable. Let's put three different, you know, pars on scorecards with the different tee boxes that are non-binary with name with colors, whatever you want to call it.
Correct.
Like, yeah. All right, we figured out a lot, T-Mac. We can go home, call it a day.
I'm
We
with that. So,
Exactly.
but recently you were talking about that you came on down to Tampa and that you got to play a couple rounds of golf. And I think the listeners would really enjoy some of the stories or tales between those two rounds and what you did mentally different from the first round to the second round. Would you like to share on some of that, Sean?
Yeah, I think there's just so much that can be brought from this. You know, when I just come out of that mindset of teaching for the last 2 months indoors in a track, man, you know, watching people, trying to help them mechanically, and then you get into okay, now I'm going to go play my own game of golf, and I'm going to have a target, and I'm going to not have a, you know, and it's going to be outdoors, and the weather's going to be nice, by the way. The ball's going to fly the correct distance or further than it does normally. Not further, but the correct distance. You're not playing in 48 degrees and it's windy and cold. You're playing in 75 to 85 and the ball's flying what you expect it to. So, I mean, again, there's just so many factors. You get off the plane on Sunday afternoon, you go to a, you drive for 6 hours back and forth throughout the state of Florida. You get to a golf course Monday morning at 12 o'clock for an 11:40. You get there at 11:45 for 12 o'clock tee time. You hit 12 balls in the first, on the range, and you're like, "Oh,
Perfect
well, I
warm
should
up.
be able to shoot." Yeah, exactly.
Perfect warm up.
I haven't putted since January. I haven't made a putt. I haven't chipped since the middle of March or whatever when I went to Charleston. So there's just so many things that come into the play. So, anyways, the first hole, par four. Then I obviously, listeners, you'll stay awake. I promise. I won't go through this hole by hole, but I think the first two holes are really important to kind of share. So first hole's a par four. It's a dogleg left, Diamond Hill Country Club down
Okay.
or golf course down in Brandon.
Yeah.
Public place. Let's get to that because it's a little important. Public facility. People behind you, kind of a busy day. It's a par four that you should hit it out to the right. I hit the driver, the three drivers I hit on the range, I hit really well. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll hit driver instead of hitting, 7 wood off the tee. Hold it, and somehow, some way, I actually drove the green. Like, literally drove the green. It's about 280 probably to drive the green. Ball probably bounced at, let's be realistic. Ball probably bounced at 265, might have rolled up there the last 15, but you're on the green.
Yeah,
Great.
great.
So immediately my first thought is don't three putt. That's positive, right? That's a positive one, right? I got about 60 feet and I three putted. I missed the second one. That's fine. Whatever. So I still made par, but I still feel bad about making par. Why? You're a six handicap golfer. Par is pretty good. You should make par a lot.
Yes.
But I'm already feeling bad about it. Second tee shot is par five, dogleg right or straight away. Now I decide to try to hit a draw because, I
Just hit a
haven't
draw on the
practiced that.
hole before, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't. I leave the face open. I hit the ball in the water. Great. Okay, now it's kind of reachable. It's about 210 for the second shot. So I've got one drive, two penalty. I hit my third shot, got 210. I'm like, all right, if I just hit this thing up by the green, chip it on, make a putt, I can still make par. Hit my 7 wood up by the green, about 12 yards from the green.
Okay.
Great, life is good.
Got a chance.
I chip it. Yeah, I chip it. I chip it again. I chip it over the green.
Ooh.
I chip it one more time over the green. I chip it on and I two putt for nine with four chip shots and a penalty, right?
That's tough.
So yeah, exactly. So all the excitement of the day is
I'm
like
looking
it's
for the
just the
cart girl
bubbles
at this
burst.
point.
That's correct. I wish I drank. I wish I drank. So you kind of keep going around and you start almost getting the rust off again. You get go through the front nine, shoot 44 with the nine, so that's five over on the one hole and eight over total, so you're three over on the other, eight holes. And okay, great, perfect. Number 10 is a drivable par four to the right, wind in our face. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to play smart. I'm not going to drive it over the water. I'm going to play left. Open the face up, hit it in the water. Now I'm Roy. Help me out, the
Roy
guy from the
McIlvoy.
Happy Gilmore. Yeah, now I'm Roy McIlvoy. I'm like, all right, I'm not just going up there 200 yards from here because I carried, most of the water. Could have just carried it, brought it up and dropped it and hit a ball on the green and made five. No, I'm going to keep hitting a ball from the tee box. Right? Hit another one in the water. Now I'm hitting five off the tee. Hit that one way left, but at least it's, not near the water. Putt it or hit it, chip it on, two putt. Now I've made my second nine of the day. Great. Like,
18 shots in two
again.
holes.
Unbelievable, right? And nine over in two holes. Nine over in two holes because one was a par five. Yeah, so I'm nine over in two holes. Great. And then I go birdie, birdie, par, 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 birdie, par to
Oh,
finish the day. So three birdies. So you finish shooting 85 with when you got, so you're 12 over, 13 over for the day, and you're nine over for two holes. So such a dichotomy of feelings in that whole
yes.
world. right?
Yes. I mean,
Have
you
you had
know.
any rounds like that, or have you had stuff like that where you've had to kind of recover and kind of bounce back and?
I think I've had a few. I can't really think of any per se, but there's definitely been, you know, I've definitely had those rounds where it wasn't very good, and either the last hole or the last two holes I've made birdie or eagle. And to me, it's, I've always said to my playing partner Vaz, that's like putting whipped cream on shit.
There you go.
That
Exactly.
you know, that's what I kind of remember about those rounds. But yeah, I've played with people before like yourself that have made big numbers on the front nine and through some parts of the back, and then for whatever reason they find something, you know, or just it clicks, you know, all that time that they had out there trying to figure it out, something they found mentally clicks, and then they're off running, and you're like, wow, this is fun to watch for the last three, four, or five holes or something like that. You're like, this horse is running. But then you get back to the clubhouse and you let them know, hey, by the way.
You know what the difference though, T-Mac, is there's a big part. Like when you make the nine, right? There's two ways you can go about this. Do you just let the whole thing dissolve and just kind of destroy your entire day? And or the other part of it is you've definitely like unleashed the worry factor because there's no more worry. It doesn't matter, right? If you could play in doesn't matter world from the first tee box, you'd probably be pretty good. But you know, as you kind of go along, and as you kind of start, I'm one o if you start counting, right? Oh, I'm one over through six. Okay, as long as I can just keep it going, and then you make a double and a par and a bogey, and you're four over, and you're like, yeah. And whatever that is relative to your golf game, you know, listeners, I don't. We're just talking about this particular type of format. So if you're trying to break 90, and you know. You're four over, or you're two over after six holes, and you're trying to break 90, you're in an uncomfortable zone. That's what I call it, right? You're just not comfortable.
Absolutely. And once you get that done, you know, once you get that mess out of the way, you know, 'cause I think what it is that before we start the round, we have a clean card. We have a blank piece of paper. It's beautiful. Nothing's been ruined on this piece of paper, let's say.
Oh, there's hope. There's hope.
There's hope. It's a beautiful piece of paper that we're looking at. And then we go and throw a big, ugly spot on it. And we're like, well, and then we're like, I don't know. But if you know, I've always been taught of it, once you make that mess, let's figure out how we can, one, clean it up, and two, try to make it part of what we're trying to do. Right? I mean, let's not try to ignore it or anything like this. Let's try to make it a part of what we're doing. Let's learn from that experience. And if you keep your head down and you keep the work going, when you get done, you'll look at that piece of paper and know that you made something of what we would call art or something like that. You know, something that we've done. But if you just take off the, you know, if you go, oh my God, I've got this ugly spot on this thing, or I've you know, degraded this thing, then you just get mentally down. You've just got to kind of figure out a way to get yourself, say, hey, this is what it is. Let's move around it. And, you know, I'm in a little bit of a hole. How can I dig myself out?
So it's so good golf is boring golf,
Yes.
period. Like that should be like a bumper sticker.
Scott Lynch.
Good Scott Lynch, my buddy up here, Scott Johnson, tour players, you know, Scheffler, one of the descriptions sometimes he gets is he's kind of boring. And Rory's like, I want to be boring. I want to be more like Scottie Scheffler. I don't want to, you know, right? So the whole mindset of the one shot at a time, play the shot in front of you, which is not, you know, revolutionary stuff. This is Bob Rotella. This is
Old cliché
Ben
stuff. I mean, they all
Hogan.
say it,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. Play one shot at a time. Play the shot in front of you. Play what you can play. You can't make my big one, and I've said this to myself a little bit recently. Par fives, like you can't make birdie from the tee box.
No.
You can't make birdie from the tee box. So what are you trying to do? Hitting it 261 instead of 255. Just hit it 255, whatever the number is in your world. Again, from the people that are listening, hopefully, that are trying to break 90, and they're like, ah, if I can just make. You know, two more pars or whatever. You know, hit it 220 yards in the fairway, and go. Like you're gonna be, like you said about the tree. You can't make par from behind a tree.
No.
So play boring golf. That's kind of one of the first things. And the other thing I go with is, and my girls are older than your girls, but you still watch the same Disney movies I do, is the Hakuna Matata mentality. That Hakuna Matata mentality, when the monkey hits the lion on the top of the head, and what did you do that for? It doesn't matter. It's in the past. It is. That's all you, when you make that nine, you cannot fix it. All you can do is move forward.
Correct. Correct. Now, getting on to another same subject here, you talked about how you played your second round and you made some mental changes for your second round. What did you kind of do there to kind of help some of our listeners as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I played Buckhorn Golf and Country Club. So already, and it's funny, it's just, I didn't even realize I was going to do this, but like the kind of the same mentality about the TPC Sawgrass. Like I was more excited to play Buckhorn because I knew it would be in better shape. And for the record, Diamond Hill was in really good shape for Diamond Hill. But you're just, you're kind of amped up. You're playing a nice place, right? You're just kind of excited. There's not three groups behind you on the tee box. It's a private facility. So we're lucky enough to play some courses like this throughout our time. You're playing with good guys. I got there an hour and a half early, so now I could chip and putt, and I'd already had the round before. So there's just so many things already in place. You know what I'm saying? That are already in place, ready to go. But my biggest thing on the range was that I committed to playing a fade the entire day, period. Every shot, every swing. I know how to hit a fade. You've played with me enough, T Mac. We've tried to work on, you've tried to help me with trying to hit a draw on the range at Silverado. I just, whatever it is, like it's just more body type. It's just a comfortable shot. I know what to do and I can do it. And my fade is, gotten way better in the past 5 years, meaning it used to be kind of that weak butter cut, they always called it, which is always just a nice way to dress up the pig, right? So, oh, it's a nice little butter cut. I wish I could have that. I'm like, oh. But bottom line is, like, I just decided to play this fade the whole day. And from the first tee box on, there's four driving holes at Buckhorn that really scare the life out of me. And number five, have you played Buckhorn?
No, I've never played Buckhorn, so.
Okay, yeah. So number five is a pretty narrow par four. You could literally hit 7 iron off the tee and then hit like a hybrid into it because it's kind of a downhill. It's the number one hardest handicap all on the course. But if you do hit driver and if you do get the fairway or even the right rough, you're going to have a pitching wedge left in based on the conditions where the tee boxes are playing and kind of how it's rolling out in Florida right now as far as the, grass.
Conditions.
So that was one where, and at that point I was even going into number five. So there's a little bit of that fear in my head. I'm like, oh, don't screw it up. Don't screw it up. You're right in your comfort zone. And you just really got to commit to hitting, to aiming at the left. There's a fence down on the left side of the fairway and a tree to the right of it. And I'm like, okay, aim at that tree and play the fade. And I did, and it worked out, and life was great. And then, like hole number 13, hole number 11, they're all, which is part of why I like Buckhorn, because it all sets up for good fades.
Like
Number
that.
15, there's four holes that are really committed, that as I'm telling you the story, you shouldn't even ever try to hit draws on these holes, because if you're going to try to hit a draw, all four of those holes you're aiming over out of bounds or water to try to make the ball draw back. So why wouldn't you just aim over the golf course? And if it goes straight, it goes straight. That's great. If you fade it, you're probably going to be in a fairway. That's great. Like if you roll it off the tee and push it or something, you're still fine. But why should you ever bring in hitting over out of bounds, water, hazard, trees, whatever? It's another good little lesson for our listeners. Don't aim over stuff that's bad. Aim
Well,
over the grass.
I think the other thing that you really bring to the point is that if you commit to a shot shape, you have a lot more ability to commit to a target, right? Like you're
100%.
looking at a target all the time to the left. You're not looking, when you have the two-way miss, or at least when I do, I'm looking at things to the right, looking at things to the left, and I'm on the tee box, and it's the last minute decision. Is it a draw or a fade? you know, but
could
if
be
I
halfway
commit,
down in the swing, right?
Yeah. Oh, we're doing the draw on it today.
Yeah.
But if you commit to a shot shape for the day on the range, you commit to where you're going to be putting your eye line and your sight line. And it just, to me, it just makes things so much simpler. I'm just looking on one direction. I'm working off that all day long. Unless there's some serious hazard that I can't do, then I'm maybe adjusting that, but I'm still going to play my fade or whatever it is. But it just commits you to looking on one side of the course and working off of that. That's what I'm getting from this.
It's so true. And then, you know, second shots, same exact way. Iron shots are just same exact way. You're not, I don't think I'm not sure that I aimed at a flag the whole day. I really aimed at either left side of the green or center of the green the entire time. And the stats of the day, and this is kind of like another good one for some listeners to, first of all, understand which stats to sort of pay attention to and which ones don't pay attention to. So I'm in the plane Wednesday morning flying back, and I'm just kind of thinking about my round. So I go through shot by shot the round. And a shot 73 was the score, which is great for me. I'm pretty excited about that.
At Buckhorn, that's great. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I had a doubled number 16. I didn't let it affect me. I went par birdie on 17, 18, which is good.
Nice.
But I hit, and this is a pretty 2025 PGA Tour round of golf here that I'm going to explain stat-wise. I hit four fairways. Okay.
Okay.
I hit four fairways, but the fairways that I missed, they were not, like penalty areas. Like I just happened to miss the right side of the, you know, it was on the right side of the rough or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I did hit it into three fairway bunkers, but I made par out of all the three fairway bunkers, which is pretty good. Meaning
that's
like,
amazing right there.
Right. Yeah. Like I hit three greens from the three fairway bunkers with pitching wedge, nine iron and pitching wedge.
That's feeling confident with your short game right there. I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Or ball striking or where the low point of your swing is or all the things we talk about and other stuff, you know, that's pretty, you know, you got to be stable, whatever. So four fairways, 12 greens, huge. That's PGA, starting to get PGA Tour average. They're pretty dumb with what they do. They're like 14 now, but 12 greens in regulation, up and down 4 out of 5 times.
Good.
Guess what? That's important.
Yes.
Two bunkers up and down. Greenside bunkers, and then 31 putts. And you know, the whole putting world is like, if you hit 12 greens, your putts per round is going to go up because you're on the green more often, right? So I think it's a misleading stat sometimes you hear on tour. I like the strokes gained one. I think I understand it, but you know what I'm saying? Like if people track stuff, you should really track, to me, it's those four numbers. Fairways, greens, up and downs, putting, you can tell a ton about what you need to work on if you can track those four stats.
Yeah. So just for our listeners right there, and I think you bring up a really good point with just that number of 31 putts. That meant that you only swung the club 42 times.
Right.
So why would I go, and this is what I'm trying to get at, why would I go to the range and pound 1,000 balls? Right. Yep. It took you 42 shots to get around the course. It took you, you know, 31 putts where, you know, you had that club in your hand the most of any club. Right.
Yep.
So I think the big point here and what we need to get to is if you really want to work on your game, work on that putting. Right. Yep. Work on that putting.
I chipped it 5 times. So there's 46 now or 36, 31 putts plus 5 chips. So now we're 36 and 37, right? We're 37 times hitting the golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
What are we? 11, 12 times I hit driver. You start breaking those numbers down. You get micro on it, T-Mac, you're right. Like it's really, but I think the keys that I took from the round, first of all, was a couple things like, okay, prepare, be there on time, get enough practice in. Commit to what you're doing. And it was such a measured round, for lack of a better, it was so even keeled. Mm-hmm. And again, when you're playing well, right? If our listeners are trying to shoot 82 or are they trying to shoot 88, or are they trying to shoot 75 or 95?
Yeah.
Not being like emotionally up and down if something bad sort of happens, keep it. And this is what you saw, this is what you see with tour players, and I see it with Scott Johnson, who's my head pro. And I think watching him play in Charleston for those 4 days and seeing how many greens he hits a lot of fairways too. He's just a really, really, really good ball striker. I'm okay with me being a little bit off on my driver as long as my iron play is good and I can, I know that I can still hit from the right side of the rough or whatever. And there's not much rough in Florida right now anyways, but you get my point, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, maybe it's more important for me, to kind of go work on your ball striking, the low point of your swing, the consistency of where you're delivering the club. That's the only way that you get out of three bunkers from 120 to 140 yards away,
Yeah.
is to know and to be confident that, right? There's a lot of people that get in fairway bunkers and they're petrified and they've hit it fat,
Yeah.
typically.
Yeah. You know,
Sometimes they'll hit it
the
thin,
big
but.
thing for me, at least for fairway bunkers, is I get that back in my stance, and the first thing I'm doing is I'm getting that ball. That's,
Yep.
you know, that's my thing. Other than, you know, the greenside bunker, it's completely the opposite. But that fairway bunker, I'm going to get it a
Yeah.
little bit back in my stance, and I'm going to try to pick it or pinch it or whatever it is. But I'm not going to try to get in before, you know, before into the sand
Oh.
before that. That's for sure.
That's really, like I said, like knowing where the bottom of your swing is,
Yeah.
and that's not something you can figure out while you're in there.
No.
You have had to figure that out prior to hitting the leaf in the backyard at my house in Peabody, Massachusetts for, the first 3 years of playing golf, or hitting the tee at the driving range, just,
Yep.
hitting the tee, knowing where it's at. Just really, really understanding that. And
Yeah,
I think,
recalling
we do.
those mental memories to bring you through this moment, right? You know, those practice hours.
That's it. And we both teach a ton, and there's so much mechanical stuff going on with what sometimes when we get into teaching, but it is at its essence a athletic motion and a non-mechanical sport.
Yeah.
When you're playing well, it is 100% muscle memory, mental. There's no mechanics of where's my right elbow
Yeah.
halfway down on my downswing, how is my left hip rotated. It's just not.
No. I mean, you're really, to be honest with you, at least when I'm in the zone and playing like that, probably the last thing I'm thinking about is my golf swing. You know, I'm just
Oh,
thinking about scoring, you know. Where am I
target.
going to get on that green? I'm looking at things. I'm, you know, there's not even
Yeah.
a thought about how to take the club back or where it needs to be or a pressure
Nope.
point, or it's
Nope.
just point and shoot. You know what I mean?
No, 100%.
And I think you brought up a really good point, especially for tour players as well, is that you get excited about certain courses, right? You get
Yep.
mentally into it, right? And I think it's important to understand and when you feel that mental, you know, that I'm really excited about this course. You know, I'm going to go play, let's say, Stream Song or something like that. And I'm
Yeah.
excited about the course. I want to go check out the facilities. You know, you're already at an advantage, right?
Right.
But
Yeah.
when you go play, and not to knock it down,
So, no, Silverado or what? Yeah,
you
we're all,
know,
yeah. Yeah,
I'm
like
not
Bernadette.
nearly as excited. I've probably played it
No.
1,000 times.
Yep.
I'm going out there with my buddies. My results are not going to be that good, right? I went in
No.
there with a 5-minute practice, probably, you know, at the turn I'm going to buy a beer or something like that. My round's not going to be that good. But if I'm going to a place that I'm mentally excited about and I'm going to be challenged by other golfers, then you can bet that at least us pros, we're going to get mentally excited about that and play well most of the
See,
time.
Mac, I'm gonna bring it to this. If you go to play Stream Song, or if you go to play X golf course around us, I don't want to name the names, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it comes down to the wardrobe, right?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't you gonna, all right?
You're cleaning
I
your
mean,
shoes, your clubs.
you're cleaning your shoes, you're wearing a different shirt, but there's so many times that we've, because we played, let's just use Silverado, because we been there forever and played so many league rounds and Wednesday nights and fun Saturday afternoon. But I mean, it's jump out of work, it's go meet up with the guys, but it's 5:30 at night, it's the end of the day. Like, there's so
The
much of a different mindset to a
ultimate casual golf, right?
right yeah to a 10 a.m. tee time, that you're going to play with three other guys that you enjoy playing with, and the golf course is pristine. Like, it's just such a mental thing. So I guess the point is, like, it's okay. It's because both are good. Like, you need some of the relaxed fun playing with your buddies rounds too. But that's where you do work on the draw. Those are the that's the type of rounds you do work on the draw. But when you're playing and you're trying to do something or whatever, yeah, don't dance with the girl you brought. That was my University of Tampa senior golf coach Rick Christie. You know, that was what he told me. Klotz, just dance with the girl you brought. She might be ugly, but just play with her. I'm like, oh, okay,
Absolutely.
coach. Okay, I get it now. I think I get it.
Right. And you're right. It doesn't, you know, and you're absolutely right. They don't draw pictures on the scorecard. Nobody cares if you play an ugly fade or a snap hook. But if you put a 72, 73, 74 on the card and you're whooping people's booty, then they're going to be like, well, maybe I need to be doing that instead.
The last thing I'll say about all that, T-Mac, is so a couple things. So you know, 85, 73, 2 different days. Yeah, you can. You some people listening don't have the ability, and don't take that arrogantly, to have that differential. Some people are going to shoot 88 to 92 for the rest of their lives. Great, that's fine. Now, if you want to try to shoot 80, 82 or 81, come see us, because we can probably help you try to go from 88 to 81. My so there's some of that. There's definitely some of that. There's like, hey, you know what, Sean, that's great. I can't shoot 74. Okay, well, if you're shooting 95, let's try to shoot 85. Like, that, whatever the differential is, that's not the point. The other thing I would say is, do you know how much my three daughters cared about me shooting 73?
None.
Right? Do you know how much my ex-wife, not like, people don't care. It's important to you. We put the time into it. We put the effort into it. But in the reality of the world, it doesn't matter. So don't put so much pressure on yourself,
Correct.
because realistically, you're going to get up the next day. You're going to go to the gym. You're going to go do your job, whatever. It's fun. It's fun to play well. It is. You know, to me, it's the, and you have this too. You like wake up the competitive spirit in your, oh yeah, this is actually, this is, oh yeah. I like grinding. I'm a big, I like grinding. I love grinding. I love getting up and down. I love getting up and out of the bunker, you know, from a greenside spot that somebody's like, okay, he's gonna make bogey, and then you make a good shot, and you make a par, and oh, great shot, John. You know, like, it's a fun feeling. And I think that's what those guys chase all the time in professional sports in general.
You've got to have what I'd always say is that Tom Watson attitude, right? When you get that bad lie, he'd look over at Bruce and say, "Hey, watch me do this," right?
Yeah.
And most of the people I play with, they're like, "Oh man, I can't believe this course. Look at what it
Right.
gave me." I mean, there's every
Yeah.
complaint in the world, but it,
Yeah,
to be
so
honest
true.
with you, look at it as an opportunity for you to overcome something and to achieve something great. And to be honest with you, if you pull it off correctly, people are probably going to remember that more than they are the score that you put on the card.
So nobody in my foursome knows this. On the last day at Buckhorn, when I, like I said, I doubled 16. 16 was just a badly played hole. I hit six bad golf shots. Made double. Great, right? I'm a little bit in my head because I just birdied 15, so I was one under. I went to one under, and I got a little bit in my head of like, we're out of the comfort zone. Oh, what are we doing, right? And it's not even the PBFU type of thing. If you don't know who that is, go look it up. Or the ABFU type of stuff. But it is just that, like, you're just out of your element. You're like, oh, I feel so comfortable. For me, even par. Now I'm one under. Oh no, I got 3 holes left. So what? Anyway, but whatever. Make double. Par 17 from the fairway bunker. By the way, I just realized that. Hit a pitching wedge again on, actually it was gap wedge onto the green. So 18, yep, 18. I asked the guys, I'm like, and there was a little match going on, and now we're back to even because we lose 16, 17. So there's some of these exterior factors coming in, right? Now we're on 18, and we're like, okay, this is for everything, right? And hit driver right down the middle, piped it. Beautiful little fade. Life is good. Get up to the ball, T-Mac, and my ball is not in the middle of a divot, but it's on the front edge of the divot.
Okay, that's not the
And
worst.
sandy divot, sandy divot, not divot divot, sandy divot. Right, exactly. So In my head, I am saying to myself during this 45 seconds, I'm like, GD, like, tour players don't have to play from this. They play from conditions that are perfect all the time. And I'm like, yeah, no, they don't actually. They don't. They don't always hit from perfect blood. Okay. You've got an 8 iron in your hand. We're going to hit down through it. We're going to make ball first contact anyways. That sand behind the ball shouldn't affect your shot at all. As long as you make ball first contact like you've done for the last 4 hours, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Hit the 8 iron T-Mac. The flag was left side of the green. I aimed it at the flag. Perfect, because I knew it was going to fade. It fades 25 feet. I happen to make a 25 footer down the hill for birdie.
Woo.
Hole might have gotten in the way, but we're going to walk off saying it's a good putt. And because that's the goal. The goal is to make it in the hole,
Yeah.
right? That's the goal. So yeah, sometimes the hole gets in the way, but the goal, the intention before you made the stroke was to hit it in the hole. So, again, you feel good, but like, it doesn't matter. Nobody really cares. It just doesn't mean to
Correct.
stop crying.
Yeah, no, nobody cares, and that's right. Nobody really, at the end of the day, your dog's still going to love you. Your kids are still going to give you a hug,
Hug you. That's it.
argue with you or love you, no matter what, but at the end of the day, it's just about having a positive experience out there on the course, right? Enjoying your time with your friends that you do have, and just trying to work on the things that you can control, and staying and playing within yourself. But don't ever let this game get you to the point where you feel like your self-worth is not worth something, because at the end of
Correct.
the day is just a game. And I do come across people that, they feel like, their self-worth is a little less because they can't, shoot a 85 or an 80 or something like
Right.
that. And I'm like, this isn't life and death, guys. This is just a game. This is something to go out and enjoy. As I tell some of my students, think of this like a camping trip with golf clubs. Okay. You're going out there, you're
Right.
camping, you're hanging out, you're going to be 4 hours away from wife and kids. Enjoy your time. Don't be miserable for those 4 hours and have to come home and then be miserable again,
Right,
So,
right.
and you'll bring that attitude to your house too, and that's a big thing you got to realize is once you're done with that round, leave it in the parking lot. Hey, I shot 73. That's great. Like you said, your daughter's not going to really care. That's great, Dad. That's good. I shot an 85. That's great, Dad. Really don't care. Leave it in the parking lot and go enjoy your day. But don't let those bad feelings or bad things affect you off the golf course, for sure. Please.
Absolutely. Good stuff.
So,
Good stuff. I think that was, hopefully we taught some people something there.
yeah, I think we dove into the mental aspects of the game a little bit. I think the big thing people can take away is that if you keep a single-minded vision as far as, your game plan, and stick to it, that's going to help you with your mental fortitude. Even if you do or do not execute it for the day, if you keep to your game plan and you keep that thought, it will start to produce results for you.
Yeah. My last words would just be play on the golf course and practice on the range. Work on different things on the range. Absolutely. Try to see what you find on YouTube. Try to see what your instructor is working with you on. Try to hit a draw when you normally hit fades, but do that on the range. When you get to the golf course, really be committed. You hear that on tour a lot too, right? The one shot at a time, and I was really committed to the shot. And when you, like you were saying during your, when you're not committed to that swing, to that shot, the result is usually not a very good result. But when you're committed to something and you said, okay, I'm gonna long par four, I think it's a par five before you're teeing it up. When you're teeing it up, it's like, it's par five, great. I'm gonna just hit it to the right side of that water hazard, and I'm gonna have, Sean's in trouble, so I really got to find the fairway. But you were really committed to that drive on hole number 15 at TPC Tampa, and you did it. And I, there's hundreds of shots I've seen you do like that, and that's partially why we play a little bit better than most, because we're committed to it.
I wouldn't
And
say we've
it
got any more
goes.
talent than them. It's just, the sticking to that mental facet of the game, gets us through, gets us a little bit better score than some of our students, I would say.
Yep, absolutely.
But with that being said, if anybody needs help with their lessons or needs help with their golf game, please give me or Sean a call. We'd love to help you. But that kind of wraps up today's podcast. If there's any last words that you'd have for us there, Sean.
Just that we launched our new Instagram account at Oakley Country
Yes.
Club. Yeah,
Yes.
so Oakley CC Golf Shop. Don't I?
Yeah.
Okay, I should know that. Yeah, Oakley CC Golf Shop. Love for you guys to follow us on Instagram. We're gonna start as we go throughout the summer. The weather gets a little warmer. We are gonna start doing some of these reels and kind of some of the little short video clips. Help you guys with your swing and your game, and just a lot of good information on there. Obviously, for our Oakley members up here in Watertown, Mass. We'd love for you guys to follow that, but Oakley CC Golf Shop, and then, definitely go to dynamicgolf.org as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, check out that Instagram page. That's going to be really exciting for us coming in the future. That's kind of the way people are really digesting their information and content now is Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. So we're just trying to get out there and help you guys. So if you guys have any questions, please reach out to us. We'd love to help you.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. Masters week next week, T-Mac. Looking forward to talking to you about that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, real quick, any picks?
Oh, I'm gonna reserve. I'm gonna wait till next Monday.
All right, I like that. I
I'm
like
gonna wait till
that.
next Monday. Yeah,
Very good.
we got a week to digest. All right.
Very good. So, want to thank
All right.
everybody for listening to the podcast today. If you guys have any questions, reach out to us. You can reach us at dynamicgolfpodcast.org, or please go over to the Oakley CC
Golf shop.
Golf Shop on Instagram for us and get a hold of us. We'd love to talk to you.
Sounds good.
All right. Have a good one.